All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. It is a rundown on a Wednesday, and it is action-packed. We've got a lot of bullish sentiment. The institutions are revealing their crypto holdings. You're going to want to see that. There's a Clarity Act update. We actually have altcoin news. Some altcoins are buzzing. They're making some noise. We'll let you know about that. Kind of our main platter of discussion. There's a couple here, folks. I think we're going to go long. We got a Mr. Beast update. We've got a Mr. Beast update. It's like a YouTube title. Mr. Beast, it's like, let's buy a bank would be the title of this YouTube video. Mr. Beast buys a bank. We talked about it a couple weeks ago and said, hey, Mr. Beast, Bitmine, Mr. Beast, ETH, Mr. Beast. Like, literally, again, if you're somebody that's not into YouTube, Mr. Beast is has a platform that you could say has maybe the most eyeballs on the planet. And he's kind of starting to diversify his portfolio, to say the least. So that's going to be a great conversation. I'm super excited about that. We have Brian with us, so you know we're going to be touching on some meme coins. We have a huge Pudgy Penguins update that looks really fun. And then we're going to cover some Super Bowl stuff at the end that actually involved the crypto space. The prediction markets, Brian is with us. He was the first one on our team to literally call a prediction market super cycle. He could not have been more right. And then there was a little drama over the Coinbase ad. So I'd like to break that down as a creative director myself. It's going to be a super fun episode. We are live on YouTube. There's a ton of us in here. We've got Fitz. I know Grant's going to be showing up, maybe Camo. If you're with us, let us know where you're coming in from. Give us a like. And if you're new in the bottom right, hit the subscribe. We really appreciate everybody being here. But Brian, welcome. How are you feeling this Wednesday? And, welcome back to the show.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. The light's still on. I love to say it, especially when we're seeing a little bit of a red market. But, it's gross out there in the streets. And I get that for everybody because we're financially involved in crypto. You and I work in the crypto industry. So obviously, I enjoy talking crypto just on a social level. And if I bring it up to anybody now, they kind of like roll their eyes to me. But I'm still quite bullish, man. I get everyone's takes and everyone's like kind of scratching their heads why the price is going down. And we're gonna dive into it and kind of try to make some sense. And I think the team did a great job on Friday with that rundown, breaking down exactly what's going on. But we're gonna stay in this range for a while. This $60,000 to $72,000 Bitcoin. I'm having a hard time coming up with a lot of catalysts in the very near future to get us, you know, above that $80,000 mark and off to the race at all-time highs. There's certainly paths. I think Bitcoin and the major cryptos are all going over all-time highs, but we might have to put our big boy pants on for a little bit and just, dollar cost average in and just look for some really great opportunities, which there's still some awesome opportunities in the space. But I get it. A lot of people are, a little uneasy because we got washed out a little bit, but things are going to be okay. I can assure everyone things are going to be okay.
We talked about it on Friday with the entire team. It was actually a great episode. If you didn't catch it, if you want the entire analyst team, it's a great episode to go back and listen to. But me and you kind of brought up the sentiment indicator of like, hey, when it was all-time highs, everybody's asking, should I buy? And now we're kind of getting bullied and they're coming out of nowhere. And I think we're going to talk about this at the end of the show. But the Coinbase ad was a great sentiment indicator because there's all these clips of it was like a karaoke thing. Everybody didn't know what the ad was. And then it shows Coinbase and everybody was flipping off the TV. We'll cover that at the end. So some price action here. You see it up on the board. We covered it with Brendan in the charts. I'm going to have Brendan back on Friday to look at the charts once again. But yeah, it's a lot of red out there. And I personally, we talked about this again in the show in more in depth, but I personally was the first one to bring up on the airwaves of this software thesis of, hey, we got tied up in software. The software bears came out in full force, and it's this AI trade is, at this point, nobody truly knows how much AI is going to disrupt our lives, not just investing, but just our everyday lives. And I'm not smart enough to know the answer to that. And I think a lot of investors aren't smart enough either. And the software stocks have had amazing rises over the last, 3, 4, 5 years. And everybody's starting to ring the register. And it's like, I'm not going to wait around to see if this software is going to get overtaken by AI. And then I think Bitcoin got tied up in that. I really do. And I think that thesis is being confirmed because now this week, again, outside of crypto in the traditional markets, the brokerages are getting attacked. Robinhood's getting attacked. Charles Schwab, Goldman Sachs. There's a lot of these brokerages that this week seem to be the target. It almost seems, Brian, like a systematic checklist of, hey, what could be affected by AI? And it's getting kind of a check by the markets to be like, hey, we're gonna gut check this. We're gonna gut check this. And so there is. It sucks when the S&P and the Dow is making all-time highs, but you got to really dive in and see, okay, well, what stocks are leading that? And it's stocks like Coca-Cola. It's, you know, because they have a dividend and it's just, you know what Coca-Cola it is, but why is Coca-Cola's, price to earnings ratio has been the same slight growth, but yet the stock's rocketing 20%. This money's trying to find a place to live. And you see it in those kind of staples. Dividends having a great year, oil, energy. So the money is going elsewhere. And you can play the game of Monday morning quarterback and try and chase those or trade those. But I think our team, and again, we're not personal financial advisors. We're just a couple guys talking crypto here. But when you kind of see the money flow out of your space, going back to the last bear market, that's where the opportunities are. And so you got to, plan your trade and trade your plan, as our fearless leader Bryce says. But I thought an interesting thing was the fear and greed index. I mean, we're getting low here. Coin market cap has a 9. I saw this tweet. It was at a 5 recently, which is it's the highest fear and greed level in history. So I stand by kind of what I said when we were at 100. At one point, it was like 103, and we were in fear. And I was like, man, that's a cool milestone to have. Bitcoin above 100K and we're in fear. And so again, we're the highest fear level ever for these readings. And again, we're at, the all-time highs per se of the last cycle. So any takes there, Brian? What's wild? How many guys hit their 30s and suddenly everything feels harder than it used to? Your energy dips, the focus isn't there anymore, and gym progress stalls. The conversation almost always turns to testosterone. So I've spent a lot of time digging into this, not just the headlines, but actual studies, ingredients research, and talking to people who've gone down the TRT road. And once you really understand what traditional TRT involves, it includes lifelong injections with needles, shutting down your body's natural production, fertility concerns, and it really makes guys pause. That's why I've been paying attention to Mars Men. It's designed as a TRT alternative, not injections, not synthetics, just a stack of well-researched ingredients like Tonga Ali, zinc, and boron that are used to support healthy testosterone function. I've seen the science behind these ingredients, and I personally know guys using it who say they love how steady their energy feels. No spikes, no crashes, and no needles. For a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. Mars Men is made in the USA, third-party tested, and backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. Over 91% of its users report higher energy levels, and the reviews speak for themselves. And again, for a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, free shipping, and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off for life, free shipping, and 3 free gifts. After checkout, make sure you tell them that Crypto 101 sent you. New year usually means new devices. Phones, laptops, tablets, from grandma all the way down to the kids, or at least spending more time online. That's been a good reminder to actually think about digital security again. I've been using Webroot, specifically their Total Protection Plan, which is an all-in-one option if you want coverage beyond just antivirus. What stood out to me is that it combines real-time antivirus protection against things like malware and phishing scams, identity monitoring with alerts, and this is a big one, up to $1 million in expense reimbursement for eligible out-of-pocket costs if identity theft ever becomes an issue. Total Protection also includes tools like a password manager and web threat protection that blocks malicious sites before you visit them, plus options to protect multiple devices and even family members, all without slowing your system down or throwing constant pop-ups at you. So here's the deal. New year, new device. Whether you're upgrading tech or sticking with what you've got, now's the time to protect all your devices at 60% off with Webroot's trusted cybersecurity solutions. Visit webroot.com/crypto101 and get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com, W-E-B, ROOT.com/crypto101 for 60% off. This offer is only available through the Crypto 101 link, so make sure you use it. Webroot.com/crypto101 and get up to 60% off their total protection plan. This year, choose protection that's right for you and live a better digital life with Webroot. A well-built wardrobe is about pieces that work together and hold up over time. That's what Quince does best. Premium materials, thoughtful design, and everyday staples that feel easy to wear and easy to rely on, even as the weather shifts. Quince has the everyday essentials I love with quality that lasts. Organic cotton sweaters, polos for every occasion, lighter jackets that keep you warm in the changing seasons. The list goes on. Quince works directly with top factories and cuts out the middleman, so you're not paying for brand markup, just quality clothing. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still look good season after season. Guys, the coat I got from Quince was perfect for when I went home up north for the cold winter this holiday season. I got so many compliments. It was perfect, and it still looks like it just came out of the box. I'll be wearing it for years to come because the quality is that good. Also, they have so many awesome other things. I love their workout shirts. They have awesome polos. I got a couple button-downs to wear for date night, and even some sunglasses that look cool. I got all this stuff because the quality is great, and the online shopping experience for Quince.com is super fun. They literally have so many options. So going on their website and shopping is literally something that I truly enjoyed, and the products match. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still looks good season after season. Guys, the coat I got for my northern visit this holiday season was perfect. It kept me warm in the cold weather, and it still looks brand new out of the box, so I'm going to be wearing it for seasons to come. And guys, the price was spectacular. The online store is so fun and so easy. So if you're interested in that, you got to go check out Quince.com. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to Quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, QUINCE.com/crypto101. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101.
I mean, I think you nailed it. With the tech and the AI sector issues, that's certainly drawn some liquidity and some attention away from the markets and this whole software trade. We have residual effects from 1010. We got geopolitical issues. We got some regulatory stalls with the Clarity Act and market structure bill. Volatility in traditional assets, and then we had the new Fed chair. That's kind of mapping out why we're taking a dip, and why we're what you would call a bear market right now, or you know, in a very heavy correction place. Let me tell you this much though: this is the weakest bear market case I've ever seen. You know, the past bear markets with like FTX blowing up, and just if you go down the line, there was some major catalyst there. I think that's why this one's so confusing, because we just got a bunch of like little things that pushed us into the bear market. But that doesn't change it that we are in a correction phase, that we've dropped to into the 60s when we were all time high of $126,000. And shout out the Epicenter LLC in the chat right now calling I Love Shopping for Fire Sales. Me and that guy should get a cup of coffee or a beer sometime, because this is when I thrive, man. I've talked about this in the past. I just don't get shaken out of my position that easily unless there's like a real reason. And there's a bunch of little reasons and a bunch of connect the dots, but still things feel fundamentally really strong and okay to me. But the prices don't look so good. So whenever that happens, it screams opportunity to me. And that's not me saying, like, go blow all your dry powder at the range right now, because we could get some other negative news out there. We could have an issue with Iran. There could be some news out there, geopolitical issues or big news or market manipulation, which I have the tinfoil over here. I'm not going to bust it out, but you know I've gone down the tinfoil cap a couple of times where I think this could be a little bit of a setup, but that's another time, another place. That's probably when we're having beers and I can really spout off. But my thesis for the reason that I love crypto and love everything about crypto and blockchain and where we're going is stayed strong, stayed the same. Bitcoin's on sale. Some of our favorite crypto assets are on sale. And I'm excited for the future, but we're going to weather a storm, everyone. Like, put your snow boots on, you know. Put the parka on, because it could be cold and dark for a few more weeks, a couple more months. We could chop around the 60 to 72 range, but that's okay. Like, I get it. I get people feeling uncomfortable about it, but that is okay. That's why we're in crypto, for this volatility, for this. This isn't like any advice to anybody in the chat or watching, But I told some good friends that aren't huge into crypto. They didn't have as many, like, they weren't, like, running in the past bull runs. And they texted me over the weekend, like, is this the time to, like, start buying some crypto? Or what's your thoughts on crypto? And I literally go, it's Jenny Wealth opportunity. You're welcome. Bitcoin lets you in again. It lets you get an opportunity. Again, not to say like we're leveraging longs or throwing all our money into it right now, but there's some opportunity. That's why you have to tune into the rundown. So that's why you have to follow TiVo and the boys, because I feel like we got a good beat on this, but it's going to be ugly for a little while, but we thrive here.
Two things. One, I have a video of, again, just this is just off the top of my head. I saw a video of Gary V talking about pump to get another chance at these levels. Let's listen to Gary.
I don't know about Bitcoin. Can we talk about this right now?
No, I'm buying.
Buying?
I'm pumped.
Okay.
I didn't think I was going to get another at bat like this.
Can I tell you that last time when it, like, I said, let me pick up another. And yeah. I didn't.
Yeah.
We thinking about, like, the little...
I'm buying.
Yeah.
So. But by the way, everyone who's listening, not financial advice. I've worked 40 years to be able to afford to take the risk. Yeah. I don't see it as that much of a risk anymore. I think the world will only get more tech oriented, not less. I think that the cynicism against, you know, governments and dollars will continue to grow. I'm shocked we get another bite at the apple at this level. I never thought I would buy it under 70. So I'm grateful for that. So I'm buying a little something. But by the way, could it go to 40? It could. And
yeah, like Gary basically sounded exactly like you. Put him on the rundown. He's even got the disclaimers down to a T. He's not a financial advisor. But again, this is what we're hearing from people. You know, again, more of an NFT guy, if anything. Huge with V friends. I know Joe is into that. But this is what we're hearing, and it's not just, you know, influencers in the space and KOLs. The institutions are talking too. I pulled a clip here. We can listen next. Is Charles Schwab kind of, you know, talking about the downturn here? So let's take a look at that, and we can react on the back end.
Moved on to other shiny objects, AI, gold, silver, all sorts of different ways to try to catch momentum. And that inventory buying just has not come back from retail speculation. And so you've seen a plummet in price and just perpetual selling of these assets. Specifically over the last 24 hours, what we saw is just momentum, liquidations, and a total blowout in the price of Bitcoin. From our view, we saw implied volatility reach over 90 yesterday. We saw funding rates go deeply negative, and we saw almost all the long positions get liquidated. So we think, at least in terms of a local bottom, we've touched it. And for us, that's a great time to sell puts or get a little bit longer on behalf of our institutional clients. And that's exactly what we did. I would say also the last pressure is, you know, we're one of the largest Bitcoin-backed lenders in the world, and there's a lot of these Bitcoin-backed loans. And what happens is when the price of Bitcoin goes down, clients need to send in more Bitcoin. For us, institutional clients, our clients have tens of thousands of Bitcoin. They can meet the margin calls, but there's another retail layer to these loans that often do get liquidated. So you can get this cascading set of loan liquidations, which requires more Bitcoin selling. And there was probably a degree of that for some lenders yesterday. But I would say all in all, it's been a healthy recovery today.
So that was from last week. I actually do agree with that, because I was getting just this kind of the journalist aspect of this job was I was getting really excited about all the different lending, you know, taking loans off your Bitcoin was kind of getting more mainstream, and there were a lot more options for it than even, you know, say a year ago. And so I think that, you know, 100, 120 mark, people are getting a little excited, like, oh, well, it's not going to go down to 60, 70 again. So I could, you know, they're trying to do the math in their head, like, all right, it could go back to 100, but like if I take a loan out, the 80 to 100 range is the buffer. And I think, you know, again, the retail side of it, like he said, probably getting caught up in that. And another thing, just kind of, you laid out a great kind of, hey, you know, be ready to, you know, last over the next couple of weeks. On the last show we did the duck analogy. That was a fun one. Where's your warm water? But I do want to say credit to the pod. And that's why we have our technical analysis guru, Brendan. Is I gotta be honest, like Brendan over the last 6 weeks has been coming on and doing the charts. And if anybody tells you they know exactly where it's going to go, they're lying to you. But Brendan on the charts for the last six weeks plus has just been like, hey, I don't like these levels here. I'm feeling like this could be a level of support that might not hold. And again, he didn't guarantee anything up or down, but he was definitely leaning towards the downward trend. So I do want to give him his flowers, and we'll have him back on again on Friday to see where we are now. But I think that's the important part is like, hey, the news flow, like I'm about to bring up this next thing, the news flow is still positive and the price action isn't there. And we've been in this for a while now and it gets tiring. But I do think that we have an awesome community, awesome YouTube, awesome podcast community, and then awesome, obviously, Crypt Nation community. So, you know, if this is something that you believe in, you know, you are in the right place and we appreciate everybody tuning in. But it's not just us and Gary V that are excited about it. I mean, Goldman Sachs just disclosed their holdings. $2.3 billion worth of crypto on their balance sheet. And so I'll bring this up. It's kind of picking, you know, you could say Goldman Sachs picking some winners here. We got $1.1 billion of Bitcoin, $1 billion of ETH, $153 million XRP, and $108 million of SOL. So these positions are growing over the last couple of years. Again, I think the Clarity Act is a green light for all institutions. But I do think it's just interesting timing of kind of during the turmoil of this, of, you know, one of the big five financial institutions in the United States and around the world is publishing this information now. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it's a great call out. And I don't know, maybe I'm just so crazy, but I feel like there's definitely clear skies ahead. The Clarity Act is going to be an interesting piece to this puzzle here, because like you said, that's going to give green light to a massive amount of liquidity that will unlock, but there's some uncertainty there. I think the Clarity Act was like an 80% chance of approval, like end of last year. And now it's, you know, probably flipping right around 40-50%, which I still think gets done. But, you know, there's a lot of reasons for this volatility.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up Clarity Act because that's our next topic. Clarity Act, right now, 56%, pretty stagnant over the last.
Yeah, a little up since Friday. I think we were at a 50-50. I just thought that was interesting that it was a coin flip.
Yeah, it was 66 last week, but there was a meeting. So there was a meeting yesterday at the White House. Productive was the, this was a closed door. There were bank reps, there were crypto reps, basically kind of obviously going over the back and forth from the disagreements that were from a couple, I guess that's almost a month now. Closed door meeting, it was productive, no deal reached. So that's an update on the Clarity Act. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more meetings at that, and we'll keep you tuned in as we get the updates going. But we got a little chat. We got people all over. We got London in the house, Arizona, California. We got Denver, we got Tampa. Unbelievable. Shout out to everybody in the chat. And again, give us a thumbs up. And if you're new, subscribe on the bottom right, hit our logo. We appreciate everybody being here. This has been, and again, credit to us, another credit to us, and especially inside the community. We're going to talk about Hyperliquid now. And Hyperliquid is something that, you know, the team likes. And I think it's something that has been written about in our newsletters. It's something that has been talked about in the VIP coaching calls for months now. And it's been one of the best performing assets during this downturn. And that's the type of stuff that you get in the private community. So if you're interested in getting the access to that stuff and getting, you know, better breakdowns and more kind of access to the team, the link below, there's a, I think, a dollar trial for, you know, Crypt Nation VIP to get access to the newsletter and the coaching calls. So go down and check that out. But let's pull up Hyperliquid again, a project that I know you're pumped about, and this was shocking. I mean, the trading volume is surpassing Coinbase, which is fascinating. So what I'm going to hand this off to you because I know you're a big Hyperliquid guy.
Yeah, I like Hyperliquid. It's super interesting because it's the leading decentralized perps platform, but they're also building so much, their own chain. There's a lot going on there, but this information is super interesting. They did, 2.6 trillion in volume in 2025 compared to Coinbase's 1.4 trillion. Now, this isn't apples to apples. I want to clarify that for everyone. So spot comparison compared to perps. Perps gets a little bit inflated by leverage, but the takeaway is still the same, that user adoption and on-chain liquidity, Hyperliquid's built is extremely legit. So their fundamentals are real. Their growth is coming from real usage, from real people. And for under whatever it is, like $30 or so, it feels like one of the best performing altcoins out there. They have a very interesting business model. They use their revenue. I believe it's 97% to buy 97% of their revenue to buy back and burn the token. So they've really innovated in the space. And Hyperliquid's platform isn't even available to the United States unless you utilize a VPN, I believe. So a lot of this volume is coming from all over the world. And a good comparison to it's probably Binance, where it could go. So there's a lot of growth here in Hyperliquid. But when we see these like really down bad days, Hyperliquid actually thrives because they're collecting fees off people shorting. When we see these huge days, they're collecting fees off of people longing. So Hyperliquid is an extremely interesting product, and I love to see that they're doing well. The price did have, if anybody looks at the chart, we were at like 40s and 50s a couple months ago, and then we had a pretty big sell-off. That sell-off, there was a lot of token unlocks that happened, so a lot of people taking profits, a lot of people involved. And personally, it's a token that we've been talking with in our community. I know the Crypt Nation guys have been talking about it, so everyone's really aligned on where Hyperliquid could go. But to just see, and I know this isn't apples to apples, but to just see the trading volumes numbers here has to kind of open people's eyes to the product.
Yeah, again, I get my research from Crypt Nation and Momentum Money Makers, and you guys have been on top of this now for months with a lot of in-depth knowledge about it. So it's been exciting to see it perform, especially in the down market. So again, if you're interested, kind of like Brian said, his community was in on it as well. That's Momentum Money Makers. Since we have Brian on, we are doing a $1 trial. Check it out in the description as well. Kind of moving on here. I think we gotta give at least some props to our guy Tom Lee, friend of the show. He had to face the music, and so we do this. We are a equal opportunity podcast. We give takes. Some of them we crush, obviously, and some of them we miss. It's just kind of like everybody, right? And Tom Lee had to officially face the music with this last drawdown. We cover him. Just like we cover the space, he's one of the faces of the space. So we were bringing his calls, and they were very, very bullish. And even going into the new year, he was, calling for these crazy price targets. And then obviously the rug got pulled on the price levels at the beginning of the year here, and he had to go on and face some tough questions. This is about 3 minutes. So did I take notes on this? No, we'll play. We probably won't play the whole 3 minutes, but. It's a pretty, it's a hard-hitting interview from Scott Wapner, so you got to give credit to him for asking the tough questions, and Tom Lee to face the music. So let's give it a listen here, and then we can react on the other side.
Seeing what's taking place in crypto, we're talking
about that tracks Ethereum prices.
Arcplace.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me. BitMine is designed to be a vehicle that tracks Ethereum prices. But on the upswing, because we're adding Ethereum, will outperform. So Ethereum's in drawdown. BitMine's going to be in this drawdown stock. BitMine has no leverage. It has roughly 4.3 million Ethereum that earns 3% annually. And we have 600 million cash earning about 4% in money markets. So the company is making about $1 million a day. So there is no risk. No need for the company to actually raise money because it's debt-free and actually generates about $360 million a year in net income. I think crypto sentiment is rock bottom because it has been a terrible drawdown. I mean, just the past 10 days, Ethereum's down 40%. And that's triggered, I think, a lot of concerns about whether crypto is even viable. But, all of those statements that I just heard and the just a minute ago, I heard the same thing in November 2022 after FTX. And that's the reality that crypto is sort of characterized by hyper volatility and big drawdowns. And just in the last 8 years, Ethereum's had 7 drawdowns of 60% or more. The good news is 7 of 7 of those were all V-shaped recoveries. So we had a waterfall decline. If crypto's bottoming now, which it kind of looks like it is, especially given MicroStrategy's 25% move, the recoveries are V-shaped. So we recover as quickly as we've fallen.
Just want to follow up on that. What you suggest there's no risk to the company. Is that assumption that Ethereum has stopped going down, that this is a bottom? If there is what some have predicted to be a coming quote-unquote death spiral for certain cryptocurrencies, if the situation with Ethereum gets worse, what happens here?
It's a fair question. I think we can look at metrics, for instance. If you look at the number of active addresses on Ethereum, it's up 117% versus a year ago. In fact, in just the last 3 months, that's actually gone up parabolically. Coming out of Davos, what was the big story around what Wall Street plans to do? It's tokenization, which is moving a lot of their financial infrastructure onto the blockchain, Scott. That's not going to change just because crypto prices have fallen. But what is the blockchain that is evident, you know, listed, named by whether it's UBS, Standard Charter, or Fidelity, where they're tokenizing products? It's on Ethereum. So Ethereum is not in a death spiral because the utility is going up. The price, of course, has been awful. Unfortunately, you know, crypto prices are volatile. It's not like earnings estimates change for Ethereum. In fact, network usage is up 80% in just the last 6 months. But it does mean prices move a lot. I mean, it's sort of a feature of crypto itself.
Tom Lee, friend of the show, sticking to his guns, bringing some stats there, Ethereum usage at all time. Fidelity, which is my next slide here, just kind of saying they put out a note here. Ethereum, medium of exchange and store of value. I'll pull this up if anybody's interested in reading it from Fidelity Digital Assets. Basically, the number one thing that I thought is, his conviction's there. It's not changing, obviously, in that short of a time. And he admitted to the price action being awful. The one thing that I really am interested in on his DAT for Bitmine compared to Strategy is the no debt. So he's started, they continue to buy ETH, they continue to stake ETH, and then they're making off their staking $1 million a day. Which, you know, we don't have their balance sheet of operations of how many people and payroll and what it costs to run that business. My guess is that's not enough necessarily to run the Bitmine business. And we have another topic of, you know, them investing in moonshots that we're going to move to next. But credit to him to facing the music. I think it's something that to be said when you call out all these crazy price targets, Brian, and it goes completely the other way. A lot of people in this space, especially on crypto Twitter, go and hide. We're a podcast that continues to put out more and more content no matter what the market. And credit to Tom Lee for showing up. But anything to take away there from Tom facing the music?
No, I mean, it's great to see him face the music, which he should. You know, he had some big price targets and for good reason and some good thesis behind it. It didn't work out. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to hit those price targets in the future. I mean, just think about this. We have BlackRock using Ethereum rails for tokenized treasury liquidities. We have Fidelity that's launching an Ethereum-based stablecoin, whatever it's called, the Fidelity Digital Dollar. These are major, major companies out there utilizing Ethereum. So if we took a dip in the price, it doesn't mean that they're not still moving forward with this. So it's a blip on the radar. Nobody loves when the market's down. It's always tough whenever there's volatility in the moment, but it's not going anywhere. Crypto is not going to zero. I can promise you that. There's a lot of reasons to be extremely bullish. So this is one of those times when price doesn't match up to the fundamentals, but that's why I call it the weakest bear market in history. And I think Tom Lee nailed it as well when he said there's V-shaped recoveries. I don't think that's going to happen next week or the following week, but when we start to see recovery, I think it's going to happen very fast and very hard, pretty much as fast as we came down. I think we're going to V-shape up and V-shape up really quickly.
Yeah, and it can be narrative driven as well, like kind of how we covered on the software side of it. You get caught into a narrative, and that's how it is. And then once that narrative flips, you know, there's people that step in with big amounts of money and it can get away from you pretty fast. But sticking onto the Ethereum train a little bit, going over to Mr. Beast, friend of the show, of course, Mr. Beast, buying Jimmy. A financial Jimmy buying a financial services app. And I gotta say, I have to say, we have given ourselves a lot of flowers recently, but we talked about not that long ago. We talked about this Mr. Beast partnering with BitMine, and I went on a huge rant, and I was like, I think this is unbelievably bullish. And I just, coming from the content creator side and being in the YouTube world and understanding his audience, again, this guy gets more views in, like, I think a month than the Super Bowl gets a year. So his audience is global, it's worldwide, and it's young. And they went and acquired this financial services app, Step. Again, I don't know exactly how he's going to integrate it with Beast Industries, what he's going to do. I mean, this guy has everything from a chocolate bar to a YouTube channel to now a financial services app. I'll zoom out here, and obviously none other than Tom Lee quote tweeting it and giving you all the reasons why this is exciting. And if you didn't catch that episode, is BitMine, Tom Lee's Ethereum treasury, invested into Beast Industries. Via this investment, Tom Lee, BitMine owns a piece of Step now. And when all this news broke, the number one thing that shocked me was Chamath from the All In podcast chimed in and just started talking about it. Like, oh yeah, I'm invested in Beast Industries and Jimmy's killing it, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. I'm like, me and you both live on the internet, basically, especially in crypto Twitter or business Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I never knew that he was involved in it. And all of a sudden, it's all over the timeline. And he's talking like he's been invested in a chairman and helping Jimmy grow his business for years. And so, Chamath, big crypto guy as well, early. And I think this is pretty big. This is one of my new favorite narratives. Is Jimmy, aka Mr. Beast, getting involved in finance apps, taking investment from Chamath, taking investment from BitMine, Ethereum Treasury? Like, this feels like something is bubbling here for maybe a big announcement. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
I think you nailed it, man. I mean, they're just like the tweet says, they're building a financial app focused for Gen Z. And what's Gen Z love? Digital dollars. They're not exactly signing partnerships with Chase Bank and Mellon Bank or anything along those lines in the traditional banking system. So he's up to something. And with Tom Lee in his background, it's probably something big for Ethereum. But I remember this. It's just a few weeks ago. It was on our sheet. And we both were like, what's Mr. Beast doing in the crypto world? Is he creating a bank? What was his Super Bowl commercial too? Didn't it have something to do?
I was going to bring that up next. Was it Salesforce or ServiceNow?
I think it was Salesforce. But he's heavily involved Salesforce. With like banking Salesforce. And digital. Yeah, there's something going on here. And we're going to look back on this in a few months and be like, oh man, like that was obvious. So I'm excited to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, there was some stat I saw. They were giving away $1 million. The vault. This is just a quick AI Google, but I saw this tweet of how like successful the Super Bowl commercial was of getting people to take action. That was the key. Let's just read this AI overview real quick. Mr. B's Super Bowl commercial partnership with Salesforce was titled The Vault. It was a massive success, generating over 70 million visits and causing traffic spikes that temporarily crashed the email verification system, because to solve the puzzle to get the $1 million, you had to sign up and get into some type of Slack bot, which is Slack is owned by Salesforce, to find the hidden clues. So people had to download and sign up for this and get an email verification, and they crashed the email verification system because of obviously the $1 million to take action. but they knew this and they were ready, because not only was it the, you know, 60 seconds on TV, it was the lead up to it. It was Mr. Beast talking about it. He made content, videos, tweets, talking about the relationship with Salesforce, talking about pitching the idea. He told, again, what is he so good at doing? It's entertaining and it's telling a story and it's getting people to take action. Whether it's watching or not, the first thing he gets people to do is interest. He gets them to click. He gets them to watch. Now he sells them candy bars. Then he sells them like Lunchables. And now he's building the next bank, apparently, for Beast Industries. I am very excited about this storyline. I think it's a fun, fresh, generational storyline, in the sense that, okay, the institutions are coming. That's the old money. This is the, I don't even say new money with Mr. Beast, but just the new age of entertainment, the new age of finance, pairing up with this new age of entertainment is something that, you know, kind of obviously with my content background gets me super jacked up.
Yeah, he just knows how to get clicks, man. The psychology behind it and the entertainment value. Everybody from my 5-year-old knows who Mr. Beast is to my mother. So, I think this is going a little bit under the radar, honestly, as well. We don't hear a ton of buzz around it in the space, probably because everyone just wants to tell us what the Bitcoin is down. But there's some big things out there going on under the covers that I think at the right time is going to be just an aha moment when it all gets released.
Are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? I sure am. The Gemini credit card earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it just like any other credit card when you buy lunch, gas, or even just your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. All that with no annual fee. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Guys, you've heard us talk about Gemini now every single episode, and we love and appreciate that they've been a sponsor because we use their products, whether it's the exchange or the card. They have been leaders in the space for so long. So if you're interested in earning crypto rewards for your everyday spending, go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
Issued by WebBank. Some exclusions to instant rewards apply. This is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. Check Gemini's website for more details on rates and fees.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program.
I'm able to live my life and still hit my goals.
Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
Yeah, and I when we first talked about it, this obviously, man, I'm telling you, this, I would love to be in the room with Mr. Beast. I can only hope. I hope this wasn't done over the phone. I really hope there was like a boardroom meeting and it's like Mr. Beast, Chamath, and Tom Lee all sitting down. Like, what a room. What a room to be in. Just this, you know, this BitMine investment happened and everybody freaked out. Like, the timeline was, I think it was like, it was polarizing. It was like people either got it right away, but a lot of people didn't. They're like, Tom Lee's taking all this money and he's investing in a YouTuber, yeah, a child. And it's like, what, they just don't know who this guy is and what he does. And then for like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think BitMine makes the investment into Beast Industries without the roadmap of this deal kind of being talked about and already underway. So we kind of saw the first deal of BitMine and Mr. Beast, and we're jumping to conclusions of like, okay, well, Jimmy's talked about maybe wanting to get into finance. Will he do it? But I don't think BitMine, you know, they had privy to the information. Like, all right, we're going to sign up for this. You're going to go buy that. And then there's a roadmap that I don't think is completely public yet. And then what, dude, I don't know. Mr. Beast buys ETH. Mr. Beast downloads a wallet. Like, what kind of videos are we looking for in the future? Just even just, you know, does Mr. Beast go to Consensus and sit on a panel with Tom Lee? Like, I think that there's so many things that could happen here that could be really, really fun for the space and a whole new exposure to the younger audience, which I think is needed in a way.
Yeah, really, really well said. It's just an exciting time, and this is why we need to pay attention to these things, because the clues are out there. And Mr. Beast is a a crypto fan. I've heard of him talk about it quite a bit in the past, so you know he's going to try to integrate it in some form or fashion, and he knows the right buttons to push, and just exciting stuff all around.
Yeah, to close it out, I see here in our the social media team for Crypto 101 always on point and never misses, but I can't believe they're not following friend of the show, Mr. Beast, so we'll give him a follow there to close out the segment. And we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the this is right up your alley, a little bit of Pudgy Penguin news. Pudgy Penguin, you guys have been spot on from the beginning. A lot of highs, a lot of lows, a lot of ups, a lot of downs, but a super fun project to learn about. And you guys were super, super early to the NFTs, super early to the coin, which I know rocketed. You know, at one point it was like, what, 400-500%. From when you guys gave it out. And so before we go into the news around Pudgy Penguin, if you're interested in those type of calls and getting first alerts from Brian and Joe from Momentum Moneymakers, check the description below. I put a $1 trial there so you could take a look inside the Momentum Moneymakers community for just $1 to get early access to calls like when they gave Pudgy Penguin back in the day before it rocketed 400%. But Pudgy Penguin making moves. The first one I saw is a Valentine's Day. I don't know. We could play the sound, I guess, but it's on the Today Show.
You can define like all at banjo.com, and then moving into, okay, this is very fun. I had no idea how viral Pudgy Penguins was online.
What?
Pudgy Penguins.
What are
okay.
they?
So this couple, Pax and Polly, has been the uber popular internet born. They have toys. They have collectibles.
So Pudgy Penguin on the Today Show with a 55-year-old woman selling Pudgy Penguin bouquets. We talked about how over Christmas I was buying the book for my 2-year-old nephew. I mean, that's a wide range. And obviously the memes and the impressions that this, say a lack of a better word, this business is getting is generational. So are you excited for the Valentine's Day Pudgy bouquet, Brian? And what are you hearing from the penguin, the igloo?
Yeah, I mean, I would get myself, I might buy myself a Valentine's bouquet. I could get it for the wife, but I might
sold
just
out.
Keep it in
sold
the back.
Out. I'm sorry, sold out. Brian, sold out. Sold out.
Oh,
you
got
to
really
go to New
out?
York City. Sold out, right when they went live. Sold out. You can go, I think it might have already happened. They're having like a New York City event where you could go buy one in person online, sold out.
Well, I got feet in the street in New York. I've bought crazier things, so you know, you might see one in the background in the next few days. But the Pudgy Penguins team, the price is down because everything's down right now. You know, the market's not responding the way we want, but they continue to produce. I mean, just over the holidays, we had like collaborations with the NHL and the Winter Classic. They were on the Vegas Sphere. They got the book. They have one of the most fun mobile games. If you're not playing, not Penguin Clash, the Pudgy Penguin game, you can download at the Apple Store. My kids play it all the time. Super smooth, super fun. They're selling these plushies. They're a real business with a cryptocurrency backing that make real money and have very unique mechanics. They're integrated with the abstract blockchain. There's just so much. I could spend a whole podcast why I think this is one of the most interesting and attractive meme coins out there. I get it. The price is down. Everything's kind of down. But again, it looks like there's some big opportunity because I don't think Luca and the team are sweating the price of Bitcoin and Ethereum right now. They're just continuing to produce and meet their roadmap and exceed expectations. Honestly, it feels like on these sheets every week, we have something new that they're building and they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it continues on with this week as well. And a little credit card sneak peek here. No details around it other than it seems to be a Pudgy Penguins Visa card. You know, who knows? Does that include points? Are you going to be getting your points back in Pengu tokens? I don't know. Or is it just a card? And, you know, obviously along with the viral meme. Any thoughts? Any thoughts of what they might be doing to tie it into the community, Brian?
That would be great. Like, I have a Gemini card, and I rotate through different cryptos. I want to get rewards on it. For some reason, Visa and Pudgy Penguins had some sort of Pengu reward. Sign me up. I'm all over it. I wouldn't put it past Luca. If anybody has ever been curious about the story around Pudgy Penguins and Luca and how he's built this brand, it's one of the best stories in all of crypto. And I've said this a million times. I get it. Pudgy Penguins, you can look at it as a meme coin, but as a meme coin or a brand coin, as I want to talk about, they have done more than like 80, 90% of other altcoins out there. They've produced more. They've brought in more revenue. They signed big partnerships. This is just the way things are going to change. And you can see how captivating content is. We just got done talking about Mr. Beast and how he shut down Salesforce's website and people were rushing to get the $1 million and do the clues. We like gamification. We like fun. That's exactly what Pudgy Penguins is. So I'm a big believer. I have a holding of Pengu, and I continue to dollar cost average in on down days because I see the path for this to go parabolic, but it's not going to go anywhere until, you know, the rest of the market just shapes up and starts to recover, which will happen. So, but it's still, they're just producing, they're not packing it up. They're absolutely making it happen.
Yeah, they haven't. I mean, they haven't stopped. It's every single week they're announcing something that's like, it's not even like basic low level hanging fruit. It's like big announcements, big partnerships. And again, it's fun and the community's fun. And so it's kind of like just crypto in general. It's like, hey, when stuff goes up, the memes are great. When stuff goes down, the memes are great. And you're just kind of in it together. And so it kind of has that toxic just lore of being a part of a community. And I think, you know, nothing, you know, in crypto represents that more than Pudgy Penguin, especially with their the virality of what they've created. Let's talk Super Bowl. All right, I guess, hold on. Before we talk Super Bowl, we did actually have a great question. And we can do more questions at the end if anybody has one. But St. John asked a good question. He just said, hey, what about Jim Cramer's assertion that the U.S. government added to the strategic Bitcoin reserve? I saw this clip on CNBC. Normally, it's something I would put in and bring up. I don't think Jim Cramer, sometimes he goes off the rails a little bit and just says things like he's on live TV so many hours a day. And like, I personally don't think he has any inside information. I think it was almost said in jest, if that makes sense. They were going to a commercial break. They were talking about how crypto was falling. And I think he just kind of threw that out there as like a little jest, almost like a joke. Let me just summarize this. If Jim Cramer is the only one saying it, I don't think it's true because he's not getting any calls from the Trump administration giving him the inside scoop, if that makes sense. Any thoughts on that, Brian?
Scott Bessent didn't get Jim Cramer's approval before they fired off Bitcoin into the reserve. That would be great. I think there's going to probably be some other hurdles to get over in some tell signs if we're adding to the Bitcoin reserve, which I think will happen eventually. But I didn't see this being chatted about too much, but Jim Cramer's kind of the anti-signal, you know? So whenever I hear Jim Cramer, I always like to do the opposite of whatever good old Jimmy's doing.
Yeah. Super producer here can always pull whatever up. So I guess since we're talking about it,
I don't know.
Do you think that the president is going to fill the Bitcoin reserve?
I don't know. That will be a big deal.
Well, that's what I heard at 60. I heard at 60 he's going to fill the Bitcoin reserve. You better cover.
So, he just kind of threw that in there. They were there, the longer clip, they're, you know, jousting back and forth about it. And I think it was said in jest, but not something that necessarily can happen. It's something that we have talked about on the show. These would be great levels to do it. So I see how he kind of reached for that. But, yeah, I think that would be something that if they're doing it, they'd be doing it quietly and then announce it. So something we'll keep tabs on, but I don't, anything inside scoop administration wise, they're not calling Jim Cramer. Trust me. Trust me on that one. That's one I can put a TiVo guarantee on that one. let's move on to the Super Bowl. It's still crypto-based prediction markets. The volume on the prediction markets. Shout out to Brian McNutt on the program with us today in front of your face. The first person I ever heard to call for a prediction market super cycle, and that's no doubt what we're in. But the prediction market's just crushing handle, which is total amount, you know, wagered, if you want to call it a wager. Over the weekend for the Super Bowl, outpacing some of the, you know, the DraftKings and the FanDuels of the world. So what's your takeaway here, Mr. Supercycle?
Prediction market Supercycle is for real, man. I think I think it's coming harder and faster than I expected, to put it that way. I think we were talking about this before the show, and we were talking about like the two big players out here are Kalshi and Pauly market. You can see opinion on the Binance chain, but everything else is kind of like lagging behind. I do believe that these will consolidate and form some of the bigger prediction markets out there. And we were talking about insider trading and the truth mechanism and how that's all been brought up in the past. And here's an example. I think the two biggest wagers during the Super Bowl, and correct me, Chad, if I'm wrong, but I'm almost 99% sure, was the first song by Bad Bunny and who the guest was going to be at the halftime show. This is like both good and bad because those markets were moving, you know, pretty steadily throughout, but it was the most money wagered, hundreds of millions of dollars on those two things. Now, there has to be some sort of insider trading, TiVo, on those. I mean, you're telling me that there wasn't a janitor watching the rehearsal or somebody didn't know that Lady Gaga was coming and had like some sort of like part in the halftime show, or there was even markets on Polymark and Kalshi like, will Ben Affleck be at the Super Bowl? Like, if you're somewhat friendly with Ben Affleck, you could theoretically call him up and be like, hey, man, you going to the Super Bowl? And he's like, no, I won't be there, and put a wager in. So that's kind of the good and bad thing about prediction markets is it's truth. I mean, what Brian Armstrong said, it's the closest form of truth as we have. As long as you understand that there's going to be some people out there with certain wagers here, you know, not all wagers, but certain wagers. There's some that don't have outcomes we don't know, but certain wagers, like who's going to be the guest of the halftime show? There's going to be people that know, and there's going to be people that wager on that. As long as you know you don't have insider information, you're probably straight up gambling, or you have an educated guess of a gamble, and that's okay. People do that all the time. But you have to understand there's some people with some insider information out there, and you could get farmed slightly. But it's not stopping people from flocking to these prediction markets, which I believe this prediction market super cycle is going to continue to grow. I know Vlad at Robinhood has called it a prediction market super cycle. I think he released their numbers recently. Crypto was a little bit down, but their prediction market stats were out of this world. And you and I talked about before the show about Kalshi. And I was like, a big reason Kalshi's absolutely popping off is you can go to your Robinhood app and it just pops up like predictions, like wagers, whatever you want to do. So, and the other unique thing about it, even if you don't like wagering or gambling or you don't have interest in any of that, and that's great as well, it's still one of the best metrics to like see what's happening. Like you can actually see spikes of once that Clarity Act gets signed, probably a couple hours before the Clarity Act signs, we're going to see a huge move on the actual yes, no for the Clarity Act on prediction markets way before it's even announced. So it's one of the best places to source news, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on this whole prediction market cycle we've been seeing?
Well, I think we saw it with Kevin Warsh for the Fed decision. He was, you know, in no man's land at, you know, 7-10%. And then he shoots up to the favorite, you know, basically overnight. So, yeah. And I think for people having insider information, I think what Brian Armstrong said that, right? It was like it's not a bug. It's actually a feature of knowing the truth. It's, you know, we've all been through different, you know, realizations over the last, you know, whatever, you know, 10 years, decade of understanding, like, hey, sometimes the news flow isn't, you know, maybe as like face value truthful. Or I think the polling was the biggest thing that got me. It was, and we've talked about like the Michigan, you know, Michigan University inflation, you know, survey or something. And it's like, oh, actually, like it was ridiculous. It was like, oh, we're all going to die tomorrow. Like inflation's out of control. And like, you know, a year or 2 years later, that's not the case. And then, you know, the polling around, you know, obviously the political stuff was a little off as well. So it's an interesting place to go to see, you know, who's really putting their money where their mouth is. And again, for Super Bowl stuff, yeah, there's always going to be people that know. You know, if you were a Bush for Bad Bunny, if you're one of the people that dressed up as a Bush, you know, you had rehearsals. And my guess is during the rehearsal, you know, you're going through the list and you're learning what's going on. And there's always people that know. It would be nice to be one of those people for sure. And I hope maybe one day I can be in that, because it'd be nice to have that edge. But yeah, I think you got to understand where and what it's coming from. And it's even still not a guarantee. I think that the Super Bowl example with Ben Affleck, I think it was, God, I can't remember who it was. Was it Matt? No, Mark Wahlberg, some famous person. There's something going viral on the internet. It was like, you know, somebody's daughter goes to Clemson and was dating somebody and like told him like, oh yeah, my dad's going to the Super Bowl. And this whole frat like took the action and apparently won like a fair amount of money on it. I think it was Wahlberg. Don't quote me, but like that, you know, like again, there's going to be people that have wins and for like, I looked at the odds for who was going to be the guest on the Super Bowl and Lady Gaga and Ricky Martin were already at like 82%. And I didn't wager. I was like, and it was 82. I think it was like 80-85%. And everybody else was at like 9%. And so I looked at that and I'm trained and in the markets enough now. I didn't gamble on it. I was like, I bet Lady Gaga and Ricky Martin are going to be in the Super Bowl. And sure enough, there they were. So, you know, it is a cool place to go and find that information. I like the prediction markets. We talked about this pre-show. Surprised how fast they grew. Obviously, football, especially in states where gambling, FanDuel and DraftKings aren't yet, there's a huge boost of handle for that. And I think just football in general is the most gambled on sport. So now that football's over, I think that comes down a little bit. And then you're going to get people like that think they have edges that don't, that are probably going to get wiped out. So I think you'll see it come back in a little bit. And one thing, I, as a big Robinhood guy over the years, gave it out at $8 and like 50 cents on this one Crypto 101 podcast before it went to $130 a share for people that forget. I like that they have it. I'm not a huge fan of it being on the front page of my brokerage. Like, hey, you have your life savings here and you're trying to figure out your risk reward and you know, what's my long term, what's my short term, my stocks. And then like, hey, Patriots money line, you know, plus 250, jump in, big guy. And I'm like, I got a little cash in the money market fund, might jump in there. I think you really want to separate that, because I do look at it as gambling, unless Mark Wahlberg's daughter calls me and tells me that her dad's going to be at the Super Bowl. Then maybe we have a little bit of an edge. But other than that, it does feel like gambling to me. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's straight up gambling. If you don't have an inside edge, it's straight up gambling. But I would jump on board. I thought about that as well with the Super Bowl being over and now like football and NCAA, because I was like, the super cycle is coming. But we do have some very interesting catalysts for prediction markets upcoming. We're in the heart of the Olympics right now. And I'm dying to know what these prediction markets are doing with the Olympics, because it feels like the Olympics are getting some. Have you seen that quad god?
The quad skater? Guy. He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable.
Dude, I was like watching like old routines of his on YouTube last night. I'm like, this guy, like, how did we not know about him? Feels like the Olympics are just getting more like talked about this year, but I bet prediction markets are probably eating it up. And then when those shut down, we're going to be in the heart of the midterms. This guy, what? I mean, look at his fit, too.
This looks like AI.
Darth Vader. I mean, they like had to outlaw that move or something, I heard. Like, you weren't allowed to do the flip in competition, but they let it in the Olympics, and the quad god comes out and does it. Like, I watched him last night and they were like, his show is so technically more difficult than everybody else. It's like, even if he falls, he would still win.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy is...
Unbelievable. Yeah, we need to get some action on the quad god here. Fun fact for the listeners, when I was in college, I was a Zamboni driver. So I was a Zamboni driver at the ice rink at the University of Delaware, Go Hens, and we had a huge figure skating program. That's where, so Johnny Weir, who hosts, he's the color guy of the Olympics, he trained at Delaware. So I used to Zamboni the ice for Johnny Weir back in the day. So I got to, you know, hey, yeah, we don't talk figure skating much on the show, but again, just like my one class of political science, you could say I am a figure skating expert because I zambonied for Johnny Weir.
You kept the ice cut for you. It was clean and cut for good old Johnny for you. You know exactly how. Hey, we spent some time together at some sort of simulator shooting some balls and pucks. And I was like, TiVo might be the most athletic guy I've ever met. Because I knew you were going to be good at, like, hitting the golf ball and throwing the football. And you pick up the old twig and just start firing the biscuit left corner, right corner. Yeah. You're like, look at the five hole. I'm like, did you play hockey? You're like, yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. Okay, so you're pretty much an expert, if you ask me.
Yeah, and the just silky mitts and, you know, Samboni driver, all that stuff. The people are entertained. I thought we might lose some people there. We're still at the high watermark of the live, so I think they were entertained by that story. One final thing for all the crypto juggernauts out there. We're going to talk about the Coinbase commercial for the Super Bowl. So only one crypto commercial this year, unlike that 1 year of the bull market where there was all the Tom Brady's and the Steph Curry's and the Larry David's, and it was just crypto, crypto, crypto. Only one from Coinbase this year, and it drew a divided crypto Twitter. Did you see the commercial, Brian?
I did see the commercial, and I was like humming along to that Backstreet. I was vibing with that Backstreet Boys song, like right in my wheelhouse. And I was like in and out of it because I was like messing around with something on my phone. And then I was looking down when the Coinbase logo came up at the top, you know, where like you're going to show the video. And then the people at the house I was at, they weren't doing what the video is going to do. But they were like, wait, that's a Coinbase commercial, blah, blah, blah. My wife looks at me. She's like, did you know this? I was like, yeah, Brian Armstrong just hit me up. And he was like, hey, B, we're running the Backstreet Boys karaoke commercial. I had a good chuckle, but it did what it was supposed to do. It got people talking.
It got people talking. So I'm somebody who, I've made, you know, music videos and commercials. And so I get excited about just the creative direction of ads. And I was somebody who, and I love big fans of Coinbase, obviously friends of the show. Truly. We've had a number of people from different Coinbase on the show, and they've had so many viral thought-provoking ads in the past that went viral on crypto Twitter. The one that comes to mind was the one with the house where they were like, oh, you bought this house. And then they compared like buying a house to the value of Bitcoin. And it was so thought-provoking. And it got everybody talking in such a unique way. And I love that stuff, just the creative, the writing. There's a writing there. There's an execution there of the visual storytelling to bring you to that thought-provoking moment. I like that stuff, and I think that their creative department has crushed it doing that. That, again, for people that didn't see it, it was basically just your TV screen turned into karaoke, and you started singing the Backstreet Boys, and then so the thought is everybody's singing the song, and then at the end it just goes Coinbase. Here was the reaction of a lot of people, a lot of what we'll call normies, not friends of the show at all, reacting. I saw a lot of videos like this, so let's see how the normal person reacted.
Everybody, yeah, rock your body. Oh, wow.
Just had to, for the music, had to cut that off a little bit. But yeah, I mean, Coinbase comes on. That's our exit liquidity.
You want to know how retail feels right now with the dip? That's how they feel. And you want to know what you should probably do is always fade retail.
Yeah, that's how that was a great sentiment. We've put commercials. I think there was a Solana commercial at one point that was so bad that went online that Brendan and I put like a chart. It was like a Solana bottom. Like we put the Solana commercial. I'm gonna put the Coinbase chart on Bitcoin on Friday when I get Brendan. I'm gonna get his take on it, and we're gonna add the Coinbase Super Bowl commercial to it, because if anything, that's a bad sentiment for retail. And there's a lot of clips like that. And so the people that liked the commercial said, hey, it got everybody engaged, and then you shoved Coinbase in their face and they saw it and they're talking about it. And I just think that our space, my take was, I wasn't a fan of it in the sense that I think they've produced so many great ads before that it would have been interesting to try one of those really thought-provoking ones, because you have everybody, there's certain people that just watch the Super Bowl for the ads. And so you have that engaged audience. And normally, like, the if you go around and ask everybody that just flipped off the TV or booed the TV, be like, oh, but you didn't like that. Did you watch the Bitcoin compared to a house commercial? They'd be like, what are you talking about? I've never seen that. So you had an opportunity, I think, to deliver a thought-provoking message because everybody's engaged. And you could have done it in the same way where you tell a story and then slowly ease into the Bitcoin compared to a house thing or something like that. And I don't know. I thought you had a chance to do something thought-provoking. Super fun. Everybody was singing. I saw Pat, Patrick, David saying like, oh, they should give him a raise. It did its job. I mean, maybe. So like next time when people feel FOMO, they're going to be like, oh, remember we sang Backstreet Boys, and they'll download Coinbase. Like, was that the angle? Maybe I'm crazy. But yeah, I don't know. I just didn't think it got the awareness of the brand, but it was kind of in a negative way. So when people think that, they're going to laugh and be like, oh, remember we sang Backstreet Boys and then, you know, flipped off the TV because it was Coinbase. I don't know if, when Bitcoin goes back to 150K, if they're going to be like, oh, remember when we sang Backstreet Boys? Like, let's download Coinbase and buy some Bitcoin. I don't know. That's my opinion. That's my take. I saw a lot of people, especially big time KOLs. Everybody loved it. It was great. It was so fun. To be real, it was the second best Backstreet Boys ad of the Super Bowl. T-Mobile had the first one. They had the real, you know, the Backstreet Boys in person. So it wasn't even the best Backstreet Boys ad. But a little fun banter there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it all goes back to there's no such thing as bad publicity sort of thing. Mm. And you and I spent 5, 6, 8 minutes talking about Coinbase and Coinbase commercial. So there's a couple of different ways to skin the cat there. But I think the biggest takeaway from that is to fade the public, coming from the prediction market, degenerate gambler in me. Fade Jim Cramer, fade the public, and you probably do okay. So that's kind of a local bottom signal, if you ask me. But you know,
okay, spin zone.
Ready?
Spin zone. It was market research for Coinbase. That's what it was.
They know
it wasn't to try to get people. They already know. It was market research. It was a 60. I mean, and I guess the cost of the ad was really cheap. Well, besides, I don't know what they have to write a check for the Backstreet Boys, but I'm sure Brian Armstrong got like a private concert or something, got VIP tickets at the Sphere, was included in that contract, so he doesn't mind. But yeah, you know, maybe it was just market research. I'm going to put it on the chart. I'll have Brendan put the Coinbase Super Bowl ad on the chart where everybody was out of their mind. Flipping off the TV, and that, yeah, it could be definitely a fade retail bottom. Any final thoughts, Brian? If there's any questions, throw them in the chat. London has no idea about the Super Bowl. That's not true. Come on. We love the Premier League over here. There's a lot of people that love the Super Bowl over in London. Where do they play? What stadium do they play in? Wembley. I mean, Wembley sells out every year when the Jags go over there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, aren't we pushing the NFL pretty hard on London right now? That's
everywhere. I think they're going to France next year, Germany, Brazil. There's a Mexico. Australia game, I think. It's unbelievable. Yeah. We got some. Any questions from the chat? Toss them in there. If not, we'll wrap up. Brian, any final thoughts? Super Bowl, Quad God, anything? Quad God meme coin. Can you do some research for that, maybe?
I will. I'll bring it on next week. I'll be wearing my money jacket if I find it, because how could you fade a guy that's called the Quad God and he does figure skating? My final thoughts are things are going to be okay. They really are. It's going to be gross for a little while. Like I said at the beginning, we're going to have to put our big boy pants on, but it's all going to absolutely pay off in the future. And I don't think the future is that far off. Again, it's not like a week or two away, but we're not years away or anything along those lines. This is huge opportunities. And I put my money where my mouth is. And not only the majors might be going down, there's still some opportunity in the space as well with this whole AI crypto integration and the world that's happening. So you need to absolutely be paying attention. And everybody that I refer over to, like, when they want to learn more about crypto, so they just keep limiting the texts coming to me, I send them to The Rundown. I think The Rundown is one of the best shows. I was just golfing with some buddies on over the weekend, and my buddy Redbird, shout out if you're listening, was kind of asking me about the market. I was like, obviously you didn't tune in on Friday. And he goes, what? And I send him the link. I go, you listen to this. And then you come with your questions. He sends me a message last night. He goes, no questions. Jenny Wealth.
I need to know what Redbird's warm water is. That's where his warm water is for ducking out.
He's actually an ex-NHL player. I didn't want to call him out his real name, but he's actually an ex-NHL player. Great dude, though.
Hell yeah. Well, that's all for us today, everybody. One final call. If you want that early access to the, you know, the gems that Brian and Joe are finding, even, you know, when the market's down, like the Hyperliquids or the meme coins that are running, there's a dollar trial for Momentum Moneymakers in the link. Please give it a try. If not, the least you could do, give us a thumbs up, bottom right, hit the logo and subscribe. We really appreciate everybody tuning in. We love doing the rundown, clearly. An hour and 8 minutes, folks. That might be a record for a bear market episode. And that just kind of shows how we really feel about this. We're not going anywhere. We love doing the content. We truly believe in the space and the rundown, and the Crypto 101 podcast and Crypt Nation is the best place to get all the information, education, and community that you need to not only survive the bear market, but thrive on the way back up when we do hit there. That's going to be all for us today. It is Wednesday. We'll be back on Friday with Brendan, and we'll be back, you know, forever, because we're here and we love you guys. We really appreciate everybody tuning in. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.